2 Timothy is an amazing book of the Bible. It was written by the aged Apostle Paul, the last book that he would write, we know obviously under the inspiration of the Spirit, to his young son in the faith, that young man of God named Timothy. And for those of you Bible students, there are two major divisions in Timothy's 2 Timothy. Chapter 1 and 2 are instructions to persevere in present testings. And then chapters 3 and 4 are to endure the future testings. The minor divisions are one for each chapter. There's a reminder of the power of the gospel in chapter number 1. There's requirements for the perseverance of the gospel in chapter number 2. There's resistance to protect the gospel in chapter 3. And then there's requests for the proclamation of the gospel in chapter 4. If you look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, something very interesting. There are several titles for Christians in chapter 2. And remarkably, they all begin with S. I like it when God alliterates, and then I don't have to, Brother Howard. Amen. In verse number 1, you see the word, it says, "Thou therefore, my son." We find, first of all, that Christians are sons. Thank God. Aren't you glad we're a child of the King? Amen. Thank God for that. But then in verse 3 of chapter 2, it says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." We're not only sons, but we're soldiers. You say, hey, I didn't sign up to be a soldier. You did the day you received Christ. Amen. You enlisted in His army. And then in verse number 12, we see there, it says, "If we suffer, we shall also reign with Him." You know what, ladies and gentlemen? We're commanded to be sufferers for Christ. We're to be sufferers. Listen, I know in America we don't know a lot about suffering, but not too long, folks, not too long, and we're going to have to suffer for Jesus in this land, as our brothers and sisters have been doing for ages around the world. So, sons, soldiers, sufferers. Verse 15, we read it. It said, "Study to show thyself approved unto God." We're to be students, amen? Students of the Word of God. And listen, every day, break open the bread of life and be a student of the Word of God. Amen. Then not only students and sufferers and soldiers and sons, but if you look at verse 21, it's our text verse here, right in the middle of the verse, it says, "He shall be a vessel of honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use." You know what? We're to be saints. We are saints. Amen. We've been set apart by God. We're saints. We're sanctified ones. And then the last one you see in verse number 24, and I like this one best of all. Verse 24, it says, "And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient." You know what? We're to be servants, ladies and gentlemen. The greatest person at Loomis Park Baptist Church is not the person that can sing the glistening solo, though I'm for that. It's not for the person who can preach the dynamic message. It's the person who picks up the piece of paper because they love Jesus. It's the person who sweeps the floor because they love Jesus. It's the person that drives that bus because they love Jesus. Amen. A servant. In our verses we looked at, verses 19 through 22, there's a good outline there. We see victory in verse 19. It says, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure." Aren't you glad the foundation of God stands sure? Amen. And in verses 20 and 21, we have not only victory, but you see vessels in verses 20 and 21. That's what we're going to talk about tonight. And then in verses 21 and 22, we see virtue there. It talks about that we're to purge ourselves and we're to flee from youthful lust. Verses 20 and 21 talks about vessels. And it talks about vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor. It talks about a household. And if you remember in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19, it talks about the church. And it lets us know that we're part of the household of faith. And then God here, through His same Holy Spirit, and by the way, He deals with vessels in His household. Do you know what the Bible said about Paul? You remember old Ananias in Acts chapter 9, and I believe it's verse 15. He was chewing his fingernails about what to do about the Apostle Paul. You say, why? Because Apostle Paul was a Christian killer. He was a persecutor of the church. And he didn't know. And the Lord appeared to Ananias and he said, fear not. He is a chosen vessel. So we're talking tonight about vessels. Look at verse 21. Verse 20 says, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use. The title of our message is taken right out of that text, meet for the master's use. That word meet, it's an interesting word. It's the Greek word eukrestos. Eukrestos. It's only used three times in the Bible. And it means usable and profitable. God uses it here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 21, the word meet. He uses it later on about the apostle or the servant John Mark. Remember, John Mark had left in the book of Acts. He had fled. And Barnabas said, as him and Paul were getting ready to go on their second missionary journey, Paul said, who should we take? And Barnabas said, well, let's take John Mark. And Paul said, we're not taking him. And Barnabas said, yes, we are. And Paul said, no, we're not. And Barnabas said, yes, we are. And Paul said, no, we're not. See, that's on the original Greek. If you read it in there, it says it about eight times. Amen. But you know what I'm saying. And what happened was, and praise, this is not good. The Bible says the contention between Barnabas and Paul was so sharp, they couldn't even speak to each other. How many of you have been a part of that before? Heard about that? Amen. I know in the ministry it happens that way. Sometimes between preachers, they feel like they can't even have fellowship anymore. But you know what God did? God just doubled his ministry. Barnabas took John Mark and Paul took Silas and they went out and did twice as much. But after, at the end of his life, at the end of 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11, Paul said, take Mark, because he's profitable. Eucrestos, he's usable, he's profitable. Later on in the little book of Philemon, it's used the third time, speaking of that slave, Onesimus, he's profitable. I want to try to help us tonight if we could. I think each one of us, when we get to heaven, we want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And I don't know about you, I will be perfectly content, Brother Horst, to hear, thou hast been faithful in a few things. That'd be okay with me, amen. But I know you want to hear that. If that's your goal tonight, say amen. Amen. I want you, if you could, look at this text with me. And I want to ask ourselves, how can we be usable and profitable for God? How can we be meet for the master's use? Five quick things tonight. Five things. Brother Hendershot would be proud of me, Brother Sammons. Amen. Five quick things. Only 5 points tonight. Number one, look at verse 21 with me. It says, if a man therefore purge himself from these, okay, he shall be a vessel unto honor. And if you go up and you look at our text, really the these is shun profane and vain babblings, verse 16. For they will increase unto more ungodliness. And before that, there's other things. There's things down below. Verse 22 says, flee also youthful lust. The first thing you're going to have to be, if you want to be usable and profitable for God, is you're going to have to be clean. Clean. I didn't say perfect. I didn't say perfect. I said you're going to have to be clean. I've got up here a couple vessels that are precious to me. This is my coffee cup. Brother Sammons bought me this coffee cup up at Camp Kobiak at their coffee shop. And they, see, I still don't know about this, Brother Sammons, because the name of their coffee shop is called the Ugly Mug. And so Brother Lowell, Brother Sammons bought me an ugly mug to go with my, never mind, amen. Now listen, folks. Mrs. Bittinger is so kind here. She cleans our church. She does a wonderful job. She's also very kind to take care of my coffee pot and my coffee cups. They're always clean. But let's just say, and it's not her fault, but this has happened before, Mrs. B, where I've left maybe like a little bit of coffee on my desk, and I left it on there for 2-3 days, and she didn't realize it. And all of a sudden, the inside of this was all science experiment. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Some of you got that at your house right now. Now, let me ask you a very easy rhetorical question. Would you want to drink out of this? You certainly would not. And I want to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. God sometimes does use the wicked to accomplish his purpose. He's used Nebuchadnezzar, he used the Pharaoh, he used the Medes and the Persians, amen, to bring about all kinds of things. He used the Romans to accomplish his purpose. But listen, when it comes to his people, he wants clean vessels. He wants us to be clean. And the Bible says there to purge ourselves. Now listen, again, I didn't say you'd have to be perfect. You may have come in tonight spiritually dirty, but I'll tell you what, thank God for the blood and thank God for the book. Because the Bible says this, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ, cleanseth us from all sin. Over in Ephesians, it talks about how we get under the washing of the water by the Word. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. So listen, ladies and gentlemen, you want to be usable and profitable for God, you got to be clean. And by the way, the easiest way to stay clean is just keep short accounts with God. When God arrests your attention to something that's sinful, confess it. Confess it. Confess it. Amen. If he arrests your attention to something in a sermon, don't care about what everybody else thinks. Get yourself to that altar and confess it. Amen. Get rid of it. Stay clean. Number one, you got to be clean to be used. Number two, verse 21. Right there in the middle is that word sanctify. He shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use. The first thing you have to be is you have to be clean. The second thing you have to be is you have to be consecrated. Consecrated. Sanctified. It's a great word. Now listen, I brought up another coffee cup. This is a special coffee cup. I have had this coffee cup for 15 years. And it hasn't been clean. No, of course it has. Amen. I could tell you the place where I bought this coffee cup in Taylor, Michigan. Well, I was on my way to my doctor's, and I just stopped in there, had a few spare moments, and I was looking around this secondhand store, and I saw this. I always wanted a steel coffee mug. Keeps the coffee hot. Hallelujah. And I got, this is my coffee cup. It's set apart. It's for me, drinking coffee. That's what it's set apart for. You say, Pastor, what are you trying to say? That word sanctified means set apart. God in Leviticus chapter 20, verse 26, he said about the people of God, he said, I have severed you from other people that ye should be mine. You know what? If you're going to be usable and profitable before God, you're going to have to be consecrated. You're going to have to be set apart. You're going to have to say, you know what, God, I am yours. You can do with me what you want to do. You're going to have to set yourself apart for God. He's already done it, but he wants you to do it on a daily basis. You can go back in the Old Testament. Look at everything about the tabernacle. It was all set apart for God. Look at the vessels in the temple. They were specifically set apart for God. And God wants us to be set apart for Him. Clean, first of all. Consecrated, second of all. Number three. Back in the text. It says there that He shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use. The third thing you're going to have to be, if you're going to be usable and profitable for God, is you're going to have to be close. How many of you have ever hammered in a nail with a shoe? Raise your hand. Look at them flying up. Amen. How about, let me put it this way. How many of you, maybe your wife or your husband, they said, okay, I want you to put this picture up, okay? And you got it, and you said, okay, yeah, okay, move a little bit to the left, okay? And then up, and then hold it, okay, right there, or stop. Perfect. Okay, hang it up. How many of you use something other than a hammer? Raise your hand. You know why you did that? Because it was close by. Because it was close by. You had to get the job done. And do you know why most people are not more used of God? They're just not close enough. They're just not close enough. Read in 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 12. It talks about how there was a great earthquake, and there was a fire, and there was all these things, and God wasn't in any of them. And then there was a still, small voice. You know, Mrs. Holy, if you're going to be used of God, you got to be close enough to hear Him whisper. A lot of people aren't close enough. They put things between them and God. You know why they kept going to John, the Apostle John, and asking him who it was that should betray Jesus? Because he was close enough to hear Jesus say it. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, that's the kind of disciples that we ought to be. Charles Spurgeon said this. He said, I want to pray. And when I pray to heaven, that I would say my prayers to God, say, Lord, I need you. And that I could hear His voice say, yes, Charles, I know. We got to be close. We got to be consecrated. We got to be clean. I like this one. Verse 21 again. He shall be a vessel of honor, sanctified and meet for the Master's use. You know what else we're going to have to be? We're going to be clear. You know what right now? This is empty. Empty. And you know what? If we want God to use us, we're going to have to empty ourselves of sin. We're going to have to empty ourselves of self. That's usually what we're full of, by the way. And I'm speaking for myself, too. Amen. We're full of self. And so listen, when this is full, I can't put anything in it. God told us to be filled with the Spirit of God. And you can't be filled with your spirit when you're doing the works of the flesh. And you can't be filled with the spirit when you're full of self. You need to give that stuff to God and say, God, I want to be clear. I want to allow the Holy Ghost to fill me. Be filled with the Spirit of God. Got to be clear, empty. Got to be close. Got to be consecrated. Got to be clean. And then lastly, look at the end of verse 21 there. He shall be a vessel of honor, sanctified and meet for the Master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Lastly tonight, I believe if we're going to be usable and profitable for God, we're going to have to be committed. We're going to have to be committed. And I don't mean the loony bin kind of committed. Amen? Though maybe that would do us some good if we were that committed. But you know, there it says, prepared unto every good work. When we were in the process of looking for a youth pastor, and God brought us Pastor Donald, and I'm so glad to see all those teenagers over here, and Miss Marissa as well. But I told him straight up, I said, we don't hire anybody that says, I don't do windows. Or I don't do fill in the blank. Because you know what God wants us to be? Prepared unto every good work. Listen, and I say this without apology and without reservation. If God wants me to wash a toilet, don't think because I'm a pastor that I won't. Because I will. Because we need... Listen, the missing ingredient in fundamentalism nowadays is commitment. I don't have to tell you folks, and I don't have to preach as long. It's Wednesday night and you're here. But listen, we need to be committed to say, God, I will do whatever you want me to do. I will do it. I'm prepared unto every good work. Dr. Malone used to tell us when we were in Bible college, boys, need to be ready to preach, pray, or die at a moment's notice. He said that. You know what he was teaching us? To be instant in season, out of season, to be prepared unto every good work. We're going to have to be clean if we want to be usable and profitable. We're going to have to be consecrated. We're going to have to be close. Close enough to hear Him whisper. And by the way, you can't get close to God when you're full of sin. Just can't do it. Amen. It's a stench in His nostrils. Going to have to be close. We're going to have to be clear. We're going to have to be empty. Amen. Empty. Empty. So we can say, Lord, fill me. And you're going to have to be committed. By the way, yielded servants are committed servants. The reason why some people will not commit to God is they've never yielded themselves. And to you, Romans 6:13 says, to whom ye yield yourself, to them you are the servants. Yield yourselves unto God. Listen. Let's be vessels of honor. Meet for the Master's use. Father,